KTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. One of the things that we are witnessing across this nation has been the rise of dictatorial kind of powers and edicts that are coming down. And there are people all across this nation that are pushing back, saying enough is enough. We're not going to be involved. We're not going to be complicit with some of these mandates that are coming down. And we are going to be venturing into this topic here today on Crosstalk on this matter of pushback, and we're seeing it in many different fronts, and we're seeing results that are taking place as a result of people standing up and saying, no, we're not going down this path. I mean, it's happening on many, many fronts, and we're going to highlight what is taking place. And so many times we sit back and we listen, we wring our hands and say, what can we do? Is there anything that we can do to stop the tyranny from going on? Matter of fact, I saw an article on WND.com yesterday entitled The Great American Rebellion. And I like to quote from this article as it gives a picture of what is taking place across this nation. Throughout 2020, America's doctors, nurses, paramedics, and other medical professionals were celebrated as heroes, courageous frontline soldier healers, selflessly battling a fearsome new pandemic called COVID-19. Just 1 year later, in 2021, tens of thousands of those same frontline heroes are now branded as rebels, conspiracy theorists, extremists, and yes, potential terrorists, at least according to the Department of Homeland Security. Considered so dangerous as to merit termination, their professional and personal lives turned upside down due to their decision not to be injected with the experimental COVID vaccines. They are forbidden from working in their field of hard-won expertise and forced to take any job they can get or go on unemployment. Many are compelled to sell their homes, relocate their families entirely, and try to start over. This is happening in massive numbers right now all over America. From hero to untouchable, what a difference a year makes. A year in which America has been ruled by a corrupt, dishonest, and cognitively disintegrating puppet of a president totally subservient to secret handlers and even more secret anti-American agendas. The article goes on to say, but healthcare heroes being dismissed of en masse is just the beginning. The same fate is being imposed on America's police, its firemen, its border patrol agents, and other key protectors and defenders of civilized society. Its airline pilots, air traffic controllers, plane mechanics, and others essential to America's transportation and distribution systems, plus all federal government employees, multitudes of teachers and college students, and all employees of private companies employing more than 100 people, all ordered by Joe Biden to get vaccinated or else. Then there are the forced vaccinations for the entire armed forces of the United States, populated largely by young people at an age and fitness level that has rendered serious COVID-19 outcomes extremely rare. Indeed, as of October 8th, only 62 out of the 1.4 million members of America's military, approximately 0.004%, has died of COVID. In reality, what the Biden administration has put into motion resembles a galactic game of chicken between the government medical complex and tens of millions of Americans who simply choose not to be vaccinated. It's a harrowing, death-defying contest to see which will happen first. Either millions give in and allow their bodies to be injected with the controversial experimental medicines, or the entire nation loses perhaps a quarter of its most essential workers who are forbidden from working, causing the nation to grind to a halt, crippling everything from law enforcement to airlines to commercial supply chains, even hospitals. The shutdowns are already happening, from an obstetric hospital wing in New York to a neonatal intensive care unit in Maine, to nursing homes announcing their imminent closure, and much more is sure to come, as many mandate deadlines haven't even yet been reached yet. The good news is that tens of millions of Americans realize all of this and are now fighting back, bravely and boldly. Many are not waiting to be fired and are instead resigning in protest, from nurses to police to pilots. Demonstrations by yesterday's frontline heroes are breaking out everywhere, with participants carrying signs saying, I call my own shots, no forced vaccines, my body, my choice, and yesterday's heroes, today's unemployed. the whole epic showdown between freedom-loving Americans and the power-mad elites intent on implementing their tyrannical, authoritarian agendas as laid out as never before in the sensational October issue of WND's monthly whistleblower magazine titled The Great American Rebellion, We Will Not Comply. COVID-19 power grab elites, full new era of national defiance. It's a new issue that's come out from Whistleblower. You can get info at WND.com. But they go on to say, of course, in response to the pushback, the Biden administration is doing what it always does to its political and ideological opponents. It brands them as terrorists. Indeed, a national terrorism alert released by the Biden administration's Department of Homeland Security in September, shortly before the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks, is titled Potential Terror Threats. DHS specifies three terror threats as particularly worrisome to the Biden administration, and the top one is opposition to COVID measures. Meanwhile, as the whole vaccine mandate drama is whacking the nation, yet another front in the Biden administration's new war on terror has emerged. Parents who are upset that their own children, who face virtually no threat from COVID-19, are forced to wear masks all day while being brainwashed with critical race theory, transgenderism, and other toxic and corrupting ideologies are fighting back. At school board meetings across the country, courageous mothers and fathers are defending their children and excoriating new school board members for promoting Marxist poison in the schools that the parents are forced to pay for. Attorney General Merrick Garland recently weaponized the Department of Justice against parents, America's parents, where he issued a memo characterizing those speaking up at school board meetings as extremists and potential terrorists, directing the FBI to work with each U.S. attorney's office and federal, state, and local leaders to convene meetings addressing threats against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff. Just as the Biden administration characterizes those who cried foul after the fraud-plagued November 2020 election as insurrectionists and terrorists, it's now enlarged the violent extremist dragnet to include nurses, pilots, teachers, and Navy SEALs who choose not to receive the experimental COVID vaccine, as well as parents protesting schools traumatizing and brainwashing their kids. This is the first time an American government has turned against its own people, essentially branding them as public enemy number one. This unique issue of Whistleblower chronicles how decent, patriotic, and God-fearing Americans are courageously standing up, speaking out, and nonviolently fighting back hard for their livelihoods, for their families, and for the country they love. You'll find that article and subsequent special issue at WND.com, the article called The Great American Rebellion. And folks, indeed, it is taking place on many, many different fronts, and it is having merits that are coming alongside with it. For instance, here is from Western Journal. Southwest Airlines has ended its plan to place unvaccinated employees who have applied for religious or medical exemption to its COVID-19 vaccine mandate on unpaid leave after its December 8th deadline. So they had put this in place, folks, but because there was opposition, because there was pushback that took place, they have now suspended that. Southwest Senior Vice President of Operations and Hospitality, Steve Goldberg, and Julie Weber, the Vice President and Chief People Officer, wrote to staff on this past Friday regarding the issue, according to CNBC. The new change will allow Southwest Airlines employee until November 24th to be fully vaccinated or apply for medical or religious exemption. If an employee's exemption is not approved by December 8th, they can continue to work while following the mask and distancing guidelines until the request has been reviewed. That's a change from what was previously communicated. Initially, they communicated that these employees would be put on unpaid leave, and that's no longer the case. Folks, there's been pushback, and now that means that there is this reprieve that's being given for Southwest employees. Hundreds of current and former Southwest employees gathered outside the company's Dallas headquarters on Monday to protest the vaccine mandate. The workers held signs saying, "Terminate the mandate, freedom, not force, and no jabs for jobs." KTV TV reported, the group's stated goal was to fight for medical freedom. All who believe in medical freedom are welcome to gather outside Southwest Airlines headquarters, a Facebook flyer for the event said. More than anything, we want to get back to the heart of Southwest hospitality, where all employees feel welcomed, cared for, and appreciated. Employees argue that the COVID vaccine should not be a requirement for employment. This country stands for freedom, and it should mean that for everywhere. Southwest Airlines pilot Chris Hill told FWTV, you should not have to put anything in your body to keep your employment. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton was in attendance at Monday's protest, saying legal action against the mandate is inevitable. We're already planning our lawsuit. I'm already organizing with other states. I promise you this. We will fight for you. We will do everything under our Constitution. Again, folks, an example of the pushback that's going on. Here's from CBN News. Protests are erupting across the nation over the vaccine mandates. Parents in California are fired up, protesting outside the state capitol and across the state. The harder they push, the louder we'll get, said Angie Matthews, a parent from Stockton. California teachers are now required to get the shot. The mandate's coming for students, too, once the vaccine is fully approved for their age group. I'm not a parent that wants my child to be controlled by the government, said a parent, Tyke Rodriguez, so I want my child to not be vaccinated. In Chicago, police officers are facing off with the mayor. 35% of officers have not reported their vaccine status and risk losing their jobs. In Washington State, an officer signed off for the last time after being forced to leave for not complying. In the sports world, Washington State has fired their football coach, their head football coach, Nick Rolovich, and four assistants for refusing the mandate. I think it's just unfortunate, said their director of athletics. This team, they don't deserve it. I mean, this is a real point of heartbreak. Some governors are pushing back against the mandates. The pushback continues on. Here's something from The Blaze. And that I'm bringing these forth here today because sometimes you feel all alone. What can I do? But folks, in Mass, this is what's taking place across the nation. In-N-Out Burger blasted the city of San Francisco's proof of COVID-19 vaccine requirement after the San Francisco Department of Public Health closed one of the popular California burger chain's locations for serving customers who were not carrying the proper papers. On Thursday, the San Francisco Department of Public Health closed the restaurant at 333 Jefferson Street because In-N-Out Burger Associates employees were not preventing the entry of customers who were not carrying proper vaccination documentation. In In-N-Out Burger's chief legal and business officer, Arnie Weinsinger, said in a statement, quote, our store property and clearly posted signage to communicate local vaccine requirements. After closing our restaurant, local regulators informed us that our restaurant associates must actively intervene by demanding proof of vaccine and photo identification from every customer, then act as enforcement personnel by barring entry for any customers without the proper documentation. We refuse to become the vaccination police for any government, he declared, slamming the San Francisco Department of Health's requirements as unreasonable, invasive, and unsafe, and accusing the city of asking restaurants to segregate customers based on vaccine documentation. In a statement, Weinsinger accused San Francisco of forcing businesses to discriminate against customers who choose to patronize their business, saying, quote, this is clear governmental overreach and is intrusive, improper, and offensive. That coming from In-N-Out Burger, telling San Francisco, we refuse to become the vaccination police after the city temporarily closed one of their restaurants. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with some more illustrations of what's going on the matter of pushback, where people are saying, enough is enough.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are evolutionists still looking for the missing link?
Actually, Chris, missing links are everywhere in the fossil record. Now, evolutionists say that all animals came from a common ancestor. Yet these ancestors are missing, and the links between any two basic categories are missing. Missing links are still missing. Evolutionists used to admit that the missing links were a problem, but now they seem just to have stopped talking about them. They now propose the concept of punctuated equilibrium, which says that evolution went in spurts in the past. It went so fast that it left no transitional forms. I think the missing links will forever be missing because they never existed. God created each basic category as that category. They may have adapted to different conditions, but the basic categories got here separately. They were created back in Genesis.
For more on Genesis, visit us on the web at icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, as we were prepping for today's program, was seeing this commonality that's coming out in stories from across the nation, where people are standing up and pushing back, saying, no, we're not going this direction. Right now we have an administration that has become more socialistic than we've ever seen before here in our nation. We're seeing mandates and edicts that are coming down, totally unconstitutional. Where is this mandate coming down as it relates to employers with over 100 employees? It's only been spoken from the lips. There has been no paper coming forth from OSHA pertaining to this. And yet it's being followed and swallowed hook, line, and sinker. And we are seeing these kind of mandates that are being implemented. And there are employees that we're pushing back. We're not going to do this. Hospitals have had to shut down wings of this. Some of them are rethinking what they're doing. I mean, look what Southwest Airlines has just reversed their earlier position because they had sufficient number of employees said, no, we're not going to do this. Now, I've got some more stories to illustrate this as well. This from Western Journal. The Biden administration's vaccine mandate for companies with over 100 employees through OSHA expected to be put into place soon, and Republican governors around the country are prepared to take legal action against the measure. This is pushback, ladies and gentlemen. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis made it clear that his state will be suing the administration for the invasive policy. I think that the mandate's going to lose in court, he said at a news conference. No one should lose their job over these shots. I think we want to protect people's jobs. These are folks that have been working through this whole time. They were put in situations where they were exposing themselves to risk knowingly to help others, and we did that, and we considered them heroes just a year ago. Now you're going to let them go by the wayside? In Texas, Governor Greg Abbott took preventative action by signing an executive order banning a requirement for vaccines by any person or group in the public or private sector. No entity in Texas can compel receipt of a COVID-19 vaccine by any individual, including an employee or a consumer who objects to such vaccination for any reason of personal conscience, based on a religious belief, or for medical reasons, including prior recovery from COVID-19, the order states, directly bucking both President Joe Biden and companies that want to mandate the COVID vaccine. Republican Governor Kevin Stitt, this is out of Oklahoma, said this: this action is not just federal overreach, it's unconstitutional. I've talked this over with Attorney General John O'Connor, and I know he's on our side. He's ready to take President Biden to court the second the rules are made public. I don't believe it's the government's job to dictate policies to private companies, just as I believe Joe Biden can't tell businesses they have to mandate a vaccine. I don't believe the government should be telling a company they can't. Businesses should have the freedom to make decisions based on their circumstances. When the government starts to pick winners and losers, we're headed down a slippery slope. While the debate over how far bans on vaccine mandates will rage on, one thing is being made perfectly clear by Republicans: they will fight back against the Biden administration's overreach. That a compilation of several governors on that issue. Also, interesting story from CBN News. There's pushback coming from the Attorney General of the state of Nebraska regarding ivermectin and the HCQ, hydroxychloroquine. Nebraska's Attorney General has said he will not discipline or prosecute physicians who prescribe these off-label drugs in order to treat and prevent COVID-19 infections if they have patient consent. KETV reported that Attorney General Doug Peterson issued a 48-page opinion Friday after receiving a question from Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services CEO Danette Smith. She asked if doctors could face discipline or legal action under Nebraska's Uniform Credential Act if they prescribe medications like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to fight COVID-19 in their patients. Quote, Peterson wrote, after receiving your question and conducting our investigation, we have found significant controversy and suspect information about potential COVID-19 treatment. He cited medical journals and case studies, but he said, we emphasize our office is not recommending any specific treatments for COVID-19. That is not our role. Rather, we address only the off-label early treatment options discussed in this opinion and conclude that the available evidence suggests they might work for some people. Allowing physicians to consider these early treatments will free them to evaluate additional tools that could save lives, keep patients out of hospitals, and provide relief for our already strained healthcare system. At least 24 lawsuits have been filed against around the U.S., many in recent weeks by people seeking to force hospitals to give them their COVID-stricken loved ones ivermectin. So the Nebraska Attorney General is doing just that, pushing back as to those who said, no, you cannot prescribe such medication. From NotTheBee.com, yesterday the American Freedom Law Center filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against Merrick Garland, alleging that Garland's recently announced policy to effectively criminalize public criticism of local school boards by parents violates the First and Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. The lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia on behalf of a group of parents from Saline, Michigan, and Loudoun County, Virginia. This is another issue not related to COVID, but it's parents speaking out where they have been branded as being domestic terrorists. And they're pushing back. Enough is enough. No, you may not enforce this. No, we are not domestic terrorists. Let's go to another issue. Newsmax.com. This is a Christian group suing the Biden administration over transgender surgeries. It's the Christian Employers Alliance, the CEA, suing the Biden administration over two mandates that forced religious nonprofit and for-profit employers to fund gender transition surgeries, procedures, and counseling and treatments. Alliance Defending Freedom on Tuesday filed a motion asking a federal district court in Bozeman, Montana, to cease enforcement of the measures on behalf of the Christian Employers Group as an organization that provides support to Christian businesses and nonprofits. They're saying enough is enough. We are pushing back on this. We are not going to follow your transgender mandates that would force us as a nonprofit employer or for-profit employee to fund gender transition surgeries, gender transition procedures, counseling, and treatments. They're saying enough is enough. We are not going to be doing that. Let's take a look at another issue. Here we have in Texas. This is from CBN News. Texas poised to become the latest and the most populous state to protect the fairness of girls' public high school sports. State lawmakers passed a measure requiring that transgender girls, that's biological males who identify as girls, play on teams that align with the gender listed on their original birth certificate, not their current gender identity. The legislation advanced by the Lone Star State's Republican majority going to Governor Abbott. He says he will sign it into law. The state representative Valerie Swanson said before the bill passed in the state house last week, she said, quote, "We have the opportunity today to stand up for our daughters and our granddaughters and for all our Texas girls. They are pushing back against the LGBTQ agenda, saying enough is enough. We're not going this way. If you're a biological boy, you're going to play on biological boy sports teams. If you're a biological girl, you're going to play on a biological girl sports teams." Well, folks, it doesn't end there. There are other issues that are going on as well. Here we have another story that is coming to us from, let's see, this is the Daily Wire. Governor DeSantis of Florida to the rescue as it relates to the supply chain clog. We know what's happening with the supply chain. It's unbelievable. Some of the products are no longer, I was in the store just the other day. Shelves just bare of material, this one, of laundry detergent. Certain brands and lines of laundry detergent. Well, Governor DeSantis, here from the Daily Wire, announced on Tuesday that Florida has created incentive packages to get companies to abandon clogged ports in states like Democrat-controlled California and instead use Florida's ports as a move he says can help solve the worsening supply chain crisis. He's pushing back against the Biden administration, pushing back against the Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who's happened to be on, what, a paternity leave or maternity leave? I don't know which it is, but he and his so-called husband, having adopted a child and came out of this paid leave for a time to make some statements on Sunday. Governor DeSantis is pushing back on this, making an announcement at the Jacksonville Port Authority, right alongside the Florida Department of Transportation Secretary. At the event, Jaxport announced that they will be offering incentives to any company that chooses to bring their business to their port, freeing up backlogs at other ports while ensuring Americans are able to receive the goods that they order faster. Governor DeSantis able to make the announcement that the Florida seaports are able to meet demands because Florida has continuously invested in its seaports. Year after year, we continue to invest in our seaports and infrastructure and in workforce education to make sure our supply chain is resilient, DeSantis said. While other U.S. ports are just announcing around-the-clock operations in Florida, many of our ports are used to serving Florida farmers, families, and businesses with 24 hours operation. Again, it's pushback against what's happening in our government here today. We also have pushback that is taking place from other sectors of matters as well. I think of the whole immigration aspect. This is from CNSNews.com. The Arizona Attorney General Mac Brnovich called on the Department of Justice to investigate Facebook for allegedly facilitating illegal immigration into the U.S. by allowing people to post instructions on its platform about how to enter countries illegally. He's pushing back against Facebook. As Brnovich explained in an October 14th letter to U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, saying her office wrote to Facebook to clarify its policies and procedures for preventing such misuse of its platform. We were surprised to receive an in-depth response from the company saying that its platform allows people to share information about how to enter a country illegally or to request information about how to be smuggled. Think about that. He also said it is the federal government's duty to enforce its immigration and criminal laws, and specifically Department of Justice responsibility to investigate and to prosecute these matters. Therefore, our office requests that your department investigates Facebook's facilitation of human smuggling at Arizona's southern border and to stop its active encouragement and facilitation of the illegal entry. Brnovich said his office was made aware of human smugglers and drug cartels using Facebook to reach a wider audience and advise illegal services on the platform through myriad news reports. Don't dare mention anything about illegal elections or mention a different viewpoint as it relates to COVID and the spread and safeguarding one from it and vaccinations. Don't say that, but we'll give you the way how to get into the United States of America illegally. The Tech Transportation Project, part of the Campaign for Accountability, identified dozens of Facebook pages that offered migrants passage across the U.S. southern border in April. Since then, they've evaluated Facebook for these pages every few months, easily identifying a myriad of pages openly selling illegal border crossing information. Prices or smuggling routes are posted for all to see. Pushing back. Here's some more pushback. This coming from the story, WND.com. Sheriff Brad Coe of Kinney County, Texas, has taken it upon himself to handle President Joe Biden's border crisis, a crisis that continues to spiral out of control. Coe has decided that if Biden's not going to put together a team to handle the crisis, the sheriff will do it himself. During an interview with the Gateway Pundit on Monday, Coe announced that he would be deputizing 10 local citizens to help rescue his county from the crisis. I guess he's rescuing the country at the same time. To fill out the spots, he is looking for those who have some kind of police or military experience. He further pointed out that the federal government's failures have left local law enforcement at the border with no choice but to take the matter into their own hands. According to Sheriff Mac Daniels of Cochise County, Arizona, this fiscal year, they've had 10,000 pounds of fentanyl, 180,000 pounds of meth, 86,000 pounds of cocaine, 5,000 pounds of heroin, 311,000 pounds of marijuana entered the country through the southern border. With his empty words and inaction, he says Biden has made it clear his administration will not be stopping this border catastrophe anytime soon. If there's any hope in stopping this crisis, that hope lies with Sheriff Coe and the other local officials doing their best to protect the people. Indeed, folks, pushback is taking place on so many different levels, on so many different issues. I'll have a few more thoughts to share after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For over 200 years, the American judicial system has upheld a standard so strong that a person's very life can be ended based on this level of confidence. It is a verdict supported by evidence that is beyond a reasonable doubt. Did you know there is evidence demonstrated beyond a reasonable doubt that we have a creator? Most are unaware because it has been censored from textbooks. But now you can have this information at your fingertips. In the beautifully illustrated hardcover book, Have You Considered? Evidence Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, Bruce Malone and Julie Von Vett provide a series of unique devotions presenting evidence for every day of the year that points to the Creator. Evidence from biology, paleontology, botany, anatomy, and other scientific disciplines. Have You Considered? Is available for a donation of $16 or more from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Pushback. Enough is enough, many are saying across this nation here, and we're just bringing many of these stories to light. As we mentioned so many times, you feel like, what can we do? And people collectively are saying, no, we're not going down that road. Individuals who are making the decision to go to a school board meeting, contacting their neighbors and friends and fellow church members, saying, come along with me. Let's let our voice be heard on this. It's happening on the local school board level, city council meetings, county meetings, state legislatures. We've got those standing in government saying, no, we're not going to do this. You've got local business owners like In-N-Out Burgers who are saying, no, we're not going to be the enforcers of your unjust law here in our state. On and on it goes. Sometimes it's a lawsuit that's being filed, such as the case here from the Daily Signal of a fired Louisiana teacher, Jonathan Keppel. He is suing his former school board and superintendent on grounds and on an unlawful termination for his conservative political activism and refusing to wear a mask, even though he had received a medical exemption for it. That is him as a teacher standing up and pushing back, saying enough is enough. Folks, as you have known, as you've listened to Crosstalk, we have told you about what's going on in Washington, D.C., where the IRS and the Secretary of the Treasury has been pushing to force banks, your local bank, your credit union, to report to them when you have transactions of $600 or more. You've heard that, and it's in pending legislation. Well, friends, there has been pushback that's been happening. And as a matter of fact, from townhall.com and the story, an article that came out today, from Katie Pavlich, after massive pushback from Republican lawmakers, community banks, and everyday Americans, the Treasury Department announced yesterday that it has increased the threshold for the IRS to monitor accounts from $600 to $10,000. Now, friends, it still needs, they still don't have that business in doing it. But let me say this, it's been due to pushback that number has gone from $600 to $10,000. The White House continues to claim monitoring and snooping of accounts is needed for the IRS to ensure that billionaires are paying their fair share. Well, guess what? Pushback has brought about that change. Sometimes you wonder, do my calls to Washington make a difference? Do my calls to my legislator make a difference? Folks, it's that pushback. That pushback that's happening that is causing these changes to take place. I'm looking here at an attorney general. I'm sorry, a lieutenant governor out of the state of North Carolina, Mark Robinson, who has been pushing back. And he's being attacked for it as well. He has had spoken before a church. And here's the story. It says media outlets are attacking Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson of North Carolina for calling explicit images and lessons promoting transgenderism and LGBT activities in public schools in his state as filth. But what's interesting is there's a screen behind him that in which he was giving demonstrations, I understand. They blurred the images of what he was calling filth, apparently not appropriate for their audience. But very interesting they did that. But Robinson explained he was describing the images and the lessons as filth. He said there's no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth. And yes, I called it filth. And if you don't like that, I called it filth. Come see me and I'll explain it to you. End of quote. That statement here from Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson of North Carolina, who is pushing back against this immoral agenda that's being forced upon students in his state. There's one other area I want to bring to your attention today, a pushback. And I know that there's concern by ranchers and farmers here across this nation. We've had Tom DeWeese talk about the war on beef here on Crosstalk on a couple of occasions. Well, this from the Daily Caller should perk your ears up just a bit for ranchers across the nation and for consumers of meat. Ranchers from across the country have raised over $300 million to build a slaughterhouse in Nebraska. Construction on the slaughterhouse is to start this fall on 400 acres of land in Nebraska, according to Fox News. Roger Kemp, a Nebraska rancher, launched in an effort to build a sustainable beef plant because the price of cattle, despite the rising cost of meat, continues to decline. Now think about that. The price they're getting for cattle is declining, but meat is escalating in its price. Profits in the beef market have increased steadily since 2016, but the share of every dollar spent on food that goes to ranchers has gone from 35 cents in the 70s to 14 cents recently, according to Fox News. We've been complaining about it for 30 years, Kemp said. It's probably time somebody does something about it. Four companies currently hold over 80% of the U.S. beef market in 24 plants, according to Fox News. It's time we fight back. This is how we do it. We go head-to-head with the big processors, said Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller. The group plans to market its product both domestically and internationally, it's being reported. Ranchers saying, hey, enough is enough. We're going to build our own slaughterhouse that's supposed to start this fall, and 400 acres of land in Nebraska saying we're not going this direction. The pushback that is taking place on so many different fronts. And sometimes we wonder, can my voice make a difference? Before I open phone lines, I just wonder, do we have listeners today in Viroqua, Wisconsin, listening over WVCX of Tomah, Wisconsin, one of the affiliates here for Crosstalk and VCY American Network? Are you understanding what's going on in your city? And sometimes we wonder, can I make a difference? But folks, you got to be involved and know what's happening within your school boards and your city meetings and within your police departments and others. This story came to my attention this morning about the Viroqua Police Department announcing that they have made a decision to remove the thin blue line from their squad cars. In a release from the police department, they say that after hearing the comments and concerns brought forth from, guess who, the diversity board and the public, they have made the decision to do so. The department says that their office recognized the different emotions that the symbol has brought to members of the Viroqua community, that they want to make sure that they're following their mission statement and core values as a department. They also say that it's their hope that the decision will help build trust and optimism within the community with the goal of shared success. They're going to remove the thin blue line from their squad car. What does that thin blue line mean? That thin blue line represents the idea that the law enforcement, that's the blue uniform, so that's the blue color, acts as a barrier, or that's the line that goes through, between the community that they protect and lawlessness. That's what the thin blue line represents. That law enforcement, their officers, are going to be the barrier between the community and the bad guys. Those who are trying that are being lawless, those that are breaking the law. We're going to be the barrier. We're not going to let that happen. That's what the thin blue line stands for. And yet, the police chief of Roca, Wisconsin, I'm just pointing that this is happening in police districts across the nation, but let me say this. This is Viroqua. This is just one illustration. And those of you in Viroqua, I'm going to give you a phone number in just a moment where you can push back against your police chief who is making this decision. And I'm reading right from the Facebook post of the Viroqua Police Department, October 15th, 11:59 a.m., coming from Chief Niedfeld, Chief of Police for Viroqua. He said, after hearing the comments and concerns brought forth from the diversity board and the public, I, along with the members of the Viroqua Police Department, have made the decision to remove the thin blue line from the squad car. Our office recognizes the difference emotions that this symbol has brought to members of our community, and we want to make sure we are following the mission statement and core values as a department. My officers and I appreciate the support we have received recently. It's our hope that the decision will help build trust and optimism within the community with the goal of shared success. How is this going to build trust? How is this going to build optimism when you're removing the symbol that shows you're going to protect us as citizens from lawlessness? And friends, when you go to the police department's website and you see their mission statement and core values, they should not forget their purpose statement. to provide professional, unbiased police services that support our community and help it grow through the reduction of crime and the fear it causes while promoting a safe environment. Folks, that's what the Thin Blue Line is. And the police chief of Viroqua, Wisconsin, has just said, we're going to remove that symbol that gives protection to the people of Viroqua, saying we're going to stand between you and the bad guy. Now, those of you listening in Viroqua, take this number down. It's a number they're posting on their site, 608-637-2121. 608-637-2121. That's to the Viroqua Police Department. Be kind, be courteous. But, folks, it's time to say enough is enough. This is a line that represents their protection of you, the people. The email address is also on their police, their website. You can look that up yourself. But Viroqua, Wisconsin, this is a way that you can let your pushback happen on a local level. And I just give this as an example because this is happening in places across the nation. Now, I've talked a lot. I'd like to open the phone lines. Get your reaction. And am I all wet in what I'm thinking here? Am I just bizarre and way off the edge of the cliff? Or, folks, are you saying enough is enough? And it's time for pushback to happen across our nation and to stand up at school board meetings and county board meetings and city council meetings and with state legislators and congressmen and senators saying we're not going. That's not what our Constitution says. It is not, this is not representative, we the people. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Now, we've had a theme that have gone through our series of stories here today about pushback, and like to get your response. Let's go right to our callers here. We have Jack calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. Jack, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, I've got something that I think you might find interesting. I was at a Turning Point USA rally last night, and there was about 1,000 people there, and all these same type of subjects were being discussed. And this one lady stood up, and she said, my husband works for Southwest Airlines as a pilot. And this news that's been going around is somewhat misleading because even though on the newscast, and I think even you mentioned, the employees are now going to have to fill out this application. She said it's a very long, detailed application of what your beliefs are, what your religious beliefs are, how long you've had them, et cetera, three or four pages. And so it's not as easy or as wrapped up as it seems to be that this whole thing's out the window. They're still trying to identify true believers, Jim.
Hmm.
That is really unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. Jack, thank you for sharing that information today. Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye now. Sonny, also calling from Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. Love VCY. Listen to it all day long. So I got the jab, actually work remotely with a hospital system there in Wisconsin, and obviously I want to continue working. I want to continue making money so I can support myself and to spread the word of God, which is my number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The jab itself, you know, we're Christians. We listen to this radio station. The jab, obviously, we want to fight tyranny, but obviously, and there's some folks that believe, oh, the jab is going to be the mark of the beast. And all, well, if you're a Christian, you're not going to have to worry about the mark of the beast because you're going to be gone, first of all. But I think a lot of this is just clutter and smoke to take us away from what our number one priority should be, is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, in fact, we have enough Christians that are really not practicing Christians. They think they can go to church and that does it.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus is coming back soon. This is all part of it. And the key here is...
Thank you, Sonny. I'm up against a break, a mandatory break. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk. Thanks for the call.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com.
Canadianjudicialsystem.com. The Canadian government is reporting that many of the militaries of the westernized world, which includes the United States and NATO, just held a big conference. And you know what their topic was? Cognitive warfare. Developing tools to counter cognitive warfare. The military with NATO is working on trying to find ways to control how you think, what you believe, and your behavior. It almost sounds completely sci-fi. But indeed, they are trying to find ways to control what you think, and how you act. Now, they're doing all of this under the guise of national security, claiming that they're concerned about American citizens that are becoming tools of China and Russia. Well, if they're worried about that, they should look at their own governments and military. This is really nothing more than the battle for the mind using transhumanism.
Indeed, folks, the breaks come whether we want them to or not. They are mandated breaks into our system here, and so we don't have control over the time of them. But just in response to what Sonny is saying, I'm giving a big overall picture as to this aspect of pushback. I've gave many different illustrations. Now, the mandatory jab is one of those things that are taking place. And there are those who have conscience and religious reasons have said, I'm not going to take this. And we've hearkened back even to the use of aborted tissue cells in that. Some have said, I'm not going to cross that line and have ethical issues with that. Others have said, I don't want this forced upon me, or I've got health reasons why I have not gone this direction. And so the forced aspect of this is the concern over this matter. But it's not just this issue. It's all the other matters that we've talked about as well. For instance, parents who have pushing back against being called domestic terrorists for their standing up and speaking against critical race theory, pushing against the transgender agenda that's being promoted through the schools. And I agree. You know, the number one issue we have in life is that of being to glorify God. And we do that certainly by advancing the gospel. Scripture tells us to be salt and to be light. We do. And that we push back the darkness, do we not? By sharing the gospel, the good news to others, and I believe this is where Sonny was going with his call, we do need to be advancing the gospel. We also have the role of salt, in having that preservative impact as well. Sometimes it's an irritating impact, like salt is on a wound as well. We see that throughout Scripture. I mean, did we not give David give pushback to Goliath when he defied the God of the one living true God? Did not Elijah give pushback to King Ahab and to Jezebel and to the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth? Did not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego give pushback to King Nebuchadnezzar when he said to bow down to this image? And that's what's happening in many cases here, folks, even as we relate to agendas that violate Christian conscience. Or religious employers have been told that you must provide for transgender transition benefits through your health insurance policy. Did not we see Daniel give pushback to King Darius? Did we not see the apostles give pushback as well when they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus? Indeed, that pushback takes place. I understand not all these issues are just secular issues we're talking about. Many of them have a spiritual aspect to them as well, and we need to take that into account. So, we appreciate the thoughts there, and again, apologize for the break. Let's go to Valina in Mequonago, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you so much for your show and for everything you do every day. I just wanted to thank you for the good news today. It's really good to hear about the pushback that's going on, and it's hard for us to find out all this information on our own without a lot of digging and a lot of time, so yep. Thank you. And also, I was thinking as you were talking about pushback, our whole country was founded on pushback. Our founding fathers pushed back against the tyranny. Yeah. So thank you so much, and God bless you very much.
Thank you for the call. I mean, we have the pushback from churches who said, we're not going to close our doors. Though the government says we must close our doors, we're not going to do it. Let's go to another call from Aquanago. Dominique, you're on the air.
Hello, I totally agree with my fellow sister there. It's perfect. I absolutely love this, Jen. This was wonderful. I was smiling so big as you went through one thing after another on how people are rising up and resisting and pushing back, and courage is contagious, and God has placed us each year to fulfill his special purpose for this generation. You know, who knows whether we are coming to the kingdom for such a time as this, and through no choice of our own, we have been thrown onto the pages of the history books with the personal choice to be part of saving or losing freedom. And I just really appreciate this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dominique. Elaine in Oconomowoc, you're on the air.
Hi. You were talking about meat packers building their own plant in Kansas?
In Nebraska.
How we could support them.
Well, I don't. I'm sure you could probably do a web search on that aspect. Let me just see. This story was on the Daily Caller. Ranchers across the country raise over $300 million to build beef plant efforts. So you could, do a search on that topic or go to dailycaller.com. But yeah, ranchers are building this slaughterhouse in order to push back.
Thank you very much.
But yeah, I don't have a personal contact for them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Kevin is next. Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hi. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Hey, so in order to push back against lesbianism and communism and socialism and the vaccine mandates, we can do all we want in the flesh, but the root problem is spiritual issues. They need to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get bought by the blood, born again, salvation by grace through faith.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are new. These people need to get born again. If they get born again, they won't be lesbian anymore. They won't be gay. They won't be atheists. If they get saved, they won't be evolutionists and these vaccine crazy people. These people need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to get saved, and that will solve all of our problems.
Thank you, Kevin, and I appreciate that indeed. That's what we talked about, being light and advancing the gospel. So important. And that is pushback against a culture that rejects it. Thank you for the call. Brian in Rochester, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. And I am standing up against these mandates, which aren't law anyway, but to push companies to do their work for them. And I think they crossed the line. I will say this, in some of these council meetings, like the school board meetings, I think we have to be very gentle and approach it in a loving manner. I was kind of a little disappointed to see, like, in Rochester here, the way some people acted. So we can't give them cause to be against us. They're already against us because they're lost. But I guess I just want to take a stand and do it lovingly, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Not saying I'm any better than anybody else. I just was shocked, you know. It's like, oh boy, you know, we need to be good Christians, and I want to be.
Well,
you know?
Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. So is gentleness, That is part of the fruit of the Spirit. But we also need to have boldness in that declaration.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate the call. And, folks, we are out of time on the broadcast today, and, again, saw the common aspect of so many stories hitting this week of people who are pushing back and saying, no, we're not going this direction. And whether it be that of mandated shots, whether it be that of mandated CRT in education or promoting LGBT in education, whether it be that of what's happening at our borders or so many other aspects of life, indeed, to be salt and to be light. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.